In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Let me just make sure that this is on. I'd like you all to reach into your pockets, your purses, if you haven't already done so, and take out a dollar bill. It could be any amount, and don't worry, we're not going to pass the second tray. I just want everyone for a teaching exercise. I want everyone to grab some sort of bill. In my hands, I have a $1 bill. It's the most common monetary note in America, and chances are most of you have one as well. Chances are many of your experience of Sunday morning church services involves this single dollar bill. I can't come into church unless I have singles. Somehow it can't be fives or tens or twenties. It has to be singles because that's my admission, right? I have to put it in the tray. A few months back, a funny thing happened. I was heading to St. Mark and I was getting ready to unlock the door. And one of our older parishioners, who's always there before I am, which is crazy and frustrating for my part, he was there waiting for me to unlock the door. And this wasn't unusual, but a remarkable thing happened. I unlocked the door, I turned off the alarm, and I went to go to the Bangatti to put my humble $1 bill in the tray, and I noticed something pretty peculiar. I looked in the tray, and he had put in a crisp new $100 bill. I just heard a shoo, right? That was my reaction. I said, oh my gosh, there's been a mistake. And I immediately tried to track him down into the narthex and tried to grab his attention. I said, sir, you placed a $100 bill. I'm sure that was a mistake. I'm sure that, did you mean to grab something else? And he said, no, that's fine, that's all right. And I said, well, if it's a matter of giving you change, I might be able to go into the back and get some petty cash and get you some change. And he said, no, that's fine, Father. I've always made it a practice to take the highest denomination, the largest bill that I have on me at the time, and put it in. It might be a one on some days, but today I happen to have a $100 bill, and I want to offer to God what's best of me. And then he smiled at me, because I guess you could still see that I had this face on. And he smiled and said, seek first the kingdom of God, and then headed on into church. Next page. Separately, each $1 bill has very little impact on our day, right? We throw them away pretty much with the junk that we buy and the candy that we use them to spend and eat on. We never think twice about putting a $1 bill in our baskets. In fact, we make a game out of it with our children. We say, oh, here, put one in. It's cute, right? It's cute to put $1 in the basket. Yet when enough of these little bills come together and form bigger bills, we find a harder time parting with them. They carry a little bit more weight in our wallets and in our hearts. As strange as it may sound, the more money we have, the more we start to listen to our money. As our bank accounts grow and grow, they begin to demand more of our attention. And as our money accumulates, starts to take on a life of its own and adjust our priorities in the process. This concept is known as mammon in the Bible. And we hear about it in today's gospel lesson, mammon. The Greek word used is mammonah, and it comes from the Hebrew word of ammon, which doesn't necessarily mean money. It means trust. Ammon means trust. So when we talk about mammon, we're not talking about money. We could be talking about property or possessions or general accumulated wealth. But the wealth, the kind of wealth that you would trust in. So not a salary, not a paycheck, but like your retirement fund. You're quite literally a trust fund. The kind of wealth that you would bank on for retirement to set you apart for life. This is why Christ warns his disciples about mammon and its temptations, because it's the kind of wealth that can skew our thoughts. This morning we read that Christ is urging his disciples to refine their spiritual focus and be mindful of what their eyes are coveting. He says clearly that it is impossible to serve God and mammon at the same time, since no one can serve two masters. Christ goes on to say that while many spend their lives in pursuit of financial security, we Christians are not to do the same. We are not to concern ourselves about such matters. Our Lord brings to mind the birds of the air and says the birds don't worry about where they're going to get their food. They don't worry about building barns to store food. They know that God will always provide for them. Yet our Lord feeds all of those who do not worry. But when it comes to us sophisticated men and women We can't help but nervously check our bank accounts to make sure that our rainy day funds are still plenty full. Now, this anxiety is what Christ doesn't want us to feel. In fact, the word used in today's gospel passage for anxious is merinata, which comes from the root word of merina, which means not to be anxious or to worry or to twiddle your thumbs or be fidgety. Merina means a part or a portion, a piece, basically not whole. So when Christ is saying don't be anxious, he's saying don't let this money, your food, your wealth, tear you apart. Don't let it reduce you to pieces of yourself. Don't be anxious. Don't be ripped apart and in pieces because of your anxiety about this money. Now, we must be clear that Christ is not teaching about saving money as being bad for you. He's not speaking against retirement funds or other banks or financial institutions. He is just urging us not to let these economic cares divide us into pieces of ourselves and divide our faith and trust in God. The key lesson of the passage comes at the end. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Our Lord is not telling us that money is evil. On the contrary, he's telling us that it's a blessing that comes from him. That is the problem when we turn our money into mammon. We begin to put our trust in our money, in our accumulated wealth, and not on God. What I urge all of you to do today is to be mindful of your gifts and always remember where they came from and who gave them to you. Detach your heart from your possessions and pledge it back instead to Christ. When we do this, we correct our priorities, and putting things back in the proper order, we have to keep the kingdom of God first in our lives, and everything else will fall into place. Trust that when you follow God and serve him, that he will take care of you in return. So look back at your money now. I ask you, where are you going to put your trust? Where are you going to put your trust? Well, the phrase is that money talks. So what does your money say? In God we trust.